All right. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 and following. We're going to get rocking and rolling. Because God's grace to me, I have laid a foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through the wall of flames. Verse 16. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Stop deceiving yourselves if you think you are wise by this world's standards. You need to become a fool to be truly wise, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. As scriptures say, he traps the wise in the snare of their own cleverness. Verse 20, and again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, and he knows they are worthless. Verse 21, don't boast about following a particular human leader, for everyone belongs to you. Whether Paul or Apostle or Peter, well, for everything belongs to God. Whether Paul or Apostle or Peter or the world or life or in death or the present or the future, everything belongs to God. You belong to Christ and Christ belongs to God. All right, Paul's talking about four or five different things here. We'll try to encapsulate them all. But the first thing he talks about is the foundation. Anybody see a building go up before? Okay. What do they put down first? Foundation. The foundation. What goes with the foundation? Footers. Where do they go? They go deep into the ground, right? And like any building, the bigger the building, the taller the building, guess what? The deeper it has to go in the ground. So a little shed, a little shack in your backyard doesn't need that much of foundation, because it's not going to withstand that much because it's a little shack. But now if you build a nice house, you're going to have a nicer foundation. And so that's what Paul is writing here to the church. Remember, he's writing to a church. He's not writing to the world or unbelievers. He's writing to believers. And he goes, hey, you have a foundation. The greatest foundation, the only foundation you need is Jesus. That's the only thing you need to get into heaven. And then Paul said, that's the only foundation you need. See, there's different types of foundations in the world. You can have just a dirt foundation. That's not going to last too long. You can have rocks and gravel. It might work a little bit better. But the stronger the foundation, the better the house will stand. When we bought our house, almost 10 years ago, people said, look, go in the basement and look at the foundation. Because if the foundation is cracked or something wrong with the foundation, don't buy the house. See, we got to be careful who we follow, that their foundation is not cracked. Or they're on crack or something like that. All right? Because the foundation is the only thing that's going to hold you. And the thing about it, what you build on the foundation matters still. You know, McVilius over here is building onto one of their buildings. And I was watching them lay their foundation. It went pretty deep. That thing's massive. But the thing about it, they're building on that foundation with steel. Which makes sense, because you really don't want toothpicks to build that building, or popsicle sticks. You really didn't want straw or hay or anything like that. They needed to build, even wood would not hold up to the pressure of that building. There's a reason why when they build skyscrapers, they use steel. Because of all the weight that goes with it. And that's the reason why they need a strong foundation. Paul is saying here, he goes, whoever is building on this foundation must be careful. We need to be careful what we build on Jesus. That it's still biblical. It still lines up with God's word. We need to make sure that we're following. And sometimes God will ask you to do things and pray for things. And you're like, and I've said this many times, like, Lord, if I'm praying wrong, bring me back into the right way to pray. But you ever get around some people from Africa and learn how they pray, you'll be like, I don't know if I like that. That's going to push. We need to be around people who have a foundation on Christ, who are farther ahead of us than we are in our spiritual walk. And not just age-wise, because just because somebody's older doesn't mean they're wiser. I know a lot of old people who are not wise. They think they're wise, but they're not wise. They're still rooting for the Minnesota sports teams. They're not that wise. But it says, whoever builds on it, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one we already have. We already have a foundation. Jesus. If we preach anything besides Jesus crucified, we're wrong. Everything needs to go back to Jesus. Someone gives you a word, it needs to be from Jesus. Or from the Holy Spirit. Everything should lead us to Jesus. And not to some other weird doctrine. Such as Mormonism. Where an angel came and... Sorry, it even says in the Bible, be careful of angels. And the thing about it... I'm going to go on a little rabbit trail. If God, it says in Hebrews that sometimes we entertain angels unaware. Think about it. That could be good angels from the Holy, from God. We can also entertain the wrong angels that give us a wrong thing. So we got to be careful who we entertain if they're leading, line up to God's word. So. Moving on. Verse 12. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials. I love how he starts with gold. You ever seen gold get melted? It takes a lot of fire. There's probably been a few fires I've been a part of where it could have melted a little bit of the gold. I've never been in a fire or at a fire that was strong enough to melt the gold to get rid of the impurities. Then he goes down from gold to silver to jewels. Then he goes to wood, hay, and straw. Every fire I've been a part of, there's always been wood there. Wood burns up quickly. So does straw, and so does hay. But jewels, silver, and jewels, and gold, they don't burn up, they melt to get rid of the impurities. But the other stuff just burns up and all you have left is ashes. And so we don't get into heaven by what we do, okay? You can't earn your salvation. But after you save, your life and what you do should represent gold, silver, and jewels. The things of God. When we get saved, we should desire to do the things for God. I'm going to throw out a little nugget and a little rabbit trail here. Sometimes we love to say no to God or to Jesus. Because we're like, oh, that's too difficult. I mean, we wouldn't really say that out loud. We'll just come up with excuses. Lord, that's more than I can handle. Lord, I don't want to mess up. Those are excuses. Those are other words saying, no, I don't want to do it. But you know who obeyed Jesus every single time? Demons. And we can't even obey Jesus once when he asks us to do something. Think about that for a moment.
Demons bow. Demons fled. Demons said, hey, Jesus, don't throw us over here. We'll go to the pigs. And he threw them in the pigs, and they went to water, and then they still went where they didn't want to go. But they obeyed. And think about it. We're saying, sorry, Jesus, I don't want to obey you. That's a very, very scary place to be. Because there's one guy in heaven, we called him Lucifer, and he goes, I'm going to do it my way. And he got kicked out. So be careful how you build, what you do, that you do it for the glory of God. Because what we do, because it says, see, the fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. Fire will reveal things in your life. Okay, you got a good foundation, but now go do what God's called you to do. You're anointed, you're called, you're empowered. Go do it. Who's stopping you? I'm not. Go do it. Enjoy. You can come and say, hey, is this from God? No, 99% of times we want other people's opinions because we don't want to do what God's called us to do. I've had enough people say, well, tell me if this is from God or not. I should go buy a loaf of bread for my neighbor. Come on. Go. Well, I don't know if I have the money. God knows your banking account, y'all. If he tells you to go buy a loaf of bread for your neighbor, well, I think it might be from me. Still do it, because you can't go wrong. The devil won't encourage you to go bless people. He'll tell you to throw rocks at your neighbor. Trust me. Take a tennis racket and hit the rocks over your house and hit the neighbor's house so you don't know where they came from. Wrong people you hang out with, you do the wrong stuff. And so what we do, actually, and then verse 14 goes, if the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. Every time you pray, you're working for God. Every time you worship, you're worshiping. Every time you go evangelize, every time you do what God's called you to do, you're building on a foundation. This building has been built on a foundation. An old foundation. See, a lot of people say, wow, Jesus is an old foundation. We need a new type of church. One that is more inclusive. You wouldn't let me in your club. You're not going to let Jesus in your club. I think it's interesting when churches say, all are welcome. I'm thinking, they won't welcome me. Let me get up and preach. Because, you know why? Because they want everybody to be included besides those who are true followers of Christ. I don't have to Jesus not put out a sign out in front of his 12 holy, everybody welcome. No, guess what? He goes, pick up your cross and follow me. There is things that is expected out of us as believers. Not everything goes. And Paul will talk about that in the next couple weeks. All right. Then he goes, but if the work is burned up, the builders will suffer great loss, but the builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through the walls of flame. I don't want to just smell like smoke when I get to heaven. I want to give Jesus the most beautiful building I can give him. I don't want to say, well, I'm going to make it to heaven by the skin of my teeth. I don't want to. I don't have any skin on my teeth. I brush them. I'm just going to get it by, you know, barely. Why would I want to present the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who saved my soul from damnation, just some rinky-dink trinket? Maybe ashes. Where I've been saved since I was about 15 years old. I should have a house already. My foundation is Jesus. And I will go wherever he tells me to go and do what he tells me to do. Even if there's a cost involved, because guess what? The cost will always be there. If he tells us to go to Hades, once they calm down there a little bit more, not be so crazy, we'll go. But if God tells us not to go, we're not going. Nothing against Herbie. We'll throw him out of the country October 1st. Just joking. Yes, with love and a stamp to come back. But the thing about it is that what are you building on? You're building on Jesus, but what are you building? Are you just going to build a little shack in the backyard? Or you want to build a little mansion for Jesus? One of gold and silver. And the book of Revelations talks about the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And that thing's super humongous. One wall is over 1,000 miles one way. It's like 1,400 miles. One direction. And it's a cubit. It's like 1.44 million cubic miles large. That's about two-thirds of America. Approximately. I could be a little bit off. Going out to Denver, it's less than 1,000 miles. So you keep on going. And the gates are one big pearl. That's the type of build that I want to give to God. Something that is not built on Jesus, but I want my life to be gold, to be silver, to be precious diamonds or precious jewels. That's why I want my desire is that everything I do would be to the glory of God. All right, now verse 16. Now he changes directions a little bit. Don't you realize that all of you together, all right, or each one of us is the temple of the Holy Spirit? That neighbor that's not saved, that's not living for Jesus, they're not the temple for the Holy Spirit, okay? Once they can become a believer and start following Christ, now they're a temple of the Holy Spirit. Every spirit needs a place to hang out. Good spirit, the Holy Spirit, needs a place to hang out. Bad spirits, they need places to hang out too. That's in humans, in things, and in animals. Holy Spirit only dwells in flesh. Here, because in Joel chapter 2 it says, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. So he needs a fleshly body to dwell in on this earth. And guess what? He dwells from the beginning of time, before time, till the end of time and beyond time. The Holy Spirit's been around and he has dwelt in people. In the Old Testament, it was more selected. Now, New Testament, Acts chapter 2, it just kicked off for all flesh. Not just Jews, not just Gentiles, not just for this person or that person, but all flesh can be a part of the kingdom of God. And the Holy Spirit, and guess what? We as the temple of the Holy Spirit, we get to say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do with this temple? How do you want me to dress? You know, summertime, some people don't dress the greatest. According to my opinion, they need to put more clothes on. We don't need to see it all. I'm not married to you. I don't need to see it. And so the thing about it is that it says if we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, what do we do with this temple? Because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And it says, if we destroy this temple, God's not going to be happy with us. If I don't take care of this body, the best I know how, he's not going to be happy with me. And the more I know how to take care of this temple, the better off. And guess what? I'm not taking care of the temple for tomorrow. Guess what? I want to see my great-grandkids. So I got to get my kids married off sometime soon. But I'm doing it not just for that. Guess what? I'm taking care of this holy temple, this flesh body, this flesh suit. So when God's called me to do something when I'm 65, 70 years old, I'll have the strength and energy and the stamina to carry it out. See, that's the reason why I want to take care of this body. So whatever he tells me to do, I'm not like 80 years, like somebody who's, I don't know, totally unhealthy and can't do anything at age 50. I know people who are in their 30s that are on 4 or 5 medicines because they haven't taken care of their bodies. Or people joke around and say, you know something, I'm a full gospel preacher. Well, maybe you should be less full. Right, Herbie? Have them less full, right? Yes, I want to step on every toe. What I mean by less full, less fat, okay? Just in case you didn't get that. And so the thing about it is that if I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit, I want to do the. I want God to live in the best temple I can give him. But guess what? The world doesn't understand that. And then it goes on in verse 18. It goes, stop deceiving yourself if you think you're wise according to this world. For wisdom of this world is foolishness. We've talked about wisdom the last several times. The first two chapters is full of Paul saying, don't be stupid. Be wise in Christ. Someone told me the other day, be safe, Pastor. I looked at him, I actually texted him back, and I go, safety is overrated. Wisdom is underutilized. Being safe will cause me not to do anything for God. But wisdom will keep me safe so I can keep doing things for God. Not man's wisdom, but God's wisdom. When I was filling out my passport a couple years ago so we could go to Cuba, my dad goes, you're not going to go to North Korea, are you? I go, no, Dad, I'm not that stupid. I'm thinking, God didn't tell me to go to North Korea. He told me, get my passport, go to Cuba for a few days. I'm telling you. And people, guess what? I wasn't alone. Me and another guy, we walked in Cuba and him in Havana. He's a lot taller, so he was my bodyguard. I'm a little short white guy. I need all the tall people around me I can get. And so the thing about it is that we went walking through the streets around the property we were at, but we weren't stupid. We were wise. But we knew where the hotel was, and we didn't venture too far up because we didn't have the guide with us. I wouldn't have done it that night when it was dark. It was totally daylight. It was beautiful. I mean, it was like 75, and you guys were back here in December, and it was like negative, like zero and stuff. I was like, oh, this is the life. I could live down here. But here he is. He's saying, don't be wise of the world. Use godly wisdom. We talked about like that last couple weeks. Then verse 21. So don't boast about following a particular human leader. Don't boast about following me. Don't follow. Unless I say follow me as I follow Christ. If you follow me and the things I do, you'll say, oh man, he's following me. He needs help. Ask my family, they'll say they need it. He definitely needs help because he's got some weird messages, memes. But the thing about it is that we need to follow people as they follow Christ. Because no one's perfect, y'all. But follow people as they follow Christ. If you're fasting and you're like, I want to learn how to fast, ask them. Follow them as they follow Christ. If they're speeding, don't follow them. If your pastor's speeding, don't follow me. Because people will lead you astray if you put your eyes on people. Because I know a lot of people who started out well running this race called Christianity, following Christ, but they haven't ended well. They have crashed and burned. And people are all cheering like, yeah, I'm going to fall. See, Paul here is saying, don't follow me. For everything belongs to God.
whether Paul or Apollos or Peter, don't follow us. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus and don't turn back. Keep going after Jesus. Don't turn back. Then he goes, the world, don't follow the world. Don't go after things that will fail. He goes in verse 23, and you belong to Christ. Think about that. Think about that for a moment. As a believer, I don't belong to my mom or my dad or my family anymore. I belong to Christ. My kids never belong to me. They were given to me by God to raise the best I know how. Sometimes I do a good job. Sometimes, I need help. But I raise them the best I know how, but they're not mine. They're God's. We dedicate them to God to raise them up, to send them out to do the things of God. My wife doesn't belong to me. She's on loan to me from God. As long as we're together, we're going to do our best. But guess what? I don't belong to her. I belong to Jesus. I belong to Him. And when I belong to Him, guess what? I'm free from sin. I'm victorious. I got power. I got anointing. And no devil in hell can stop me from doing what God's called me to do. Amen. And so many times, we forget who we belong to. We forget who blood bought us. We forget who's on our side. And the one who created the heavens and the earth is the one who died for our sins. And He's the one that empowered you. And He's the one that says, you can do it, Mary. See, so many times we're wanting other people to come along and encourage us. Paul, David goes, he looked at his people and said, man, we got to encourage ourselves. I was running last week. I got to 11 miles and then I walked my last mile. I put 12 miles in one time. And I'm like, Lord, I need people to come along and cheer me on. He goes, no, you got me. You ever try to run 13 miles all at once? I don't blame you. It's just you and your heavy. That's just why we're here for headphones. You don't have to hear nature, me trying to breathe. But the thing about it, we need to encourage one another, but we need to encourage ourselves. I can do this. How do we encourage ourselves? By the Word of God. We go back to the foundation. When we encourage ourselves with the Word of God, and if everything we do is built on the Word on Jesus, and we build it up with the Word of God, we can encourage ourselves. I can do that because Christ called me to do it. You know, every time I do my wind sprints, it's cold outside. I should not be running with a stocking cap on and gloves the last day of April. It was cold, and the wind was blowing. And then God goes, you know why you're running? I go, yeah, I know why I'm training. Not for me, because there's some girls and boys that need to be set free. And we're going to do it. I'm going to do 30 miles. If it's all running, or running, walking, or skipping. Maybe not skipping. But I want to encourage you today. That you belong to Jesus. There's an old song that we used to sing. I belong to Jesus. I belong to Him. I belong to Jesus. Set free from sin. And the way He looks at you, He looks at you as sinless. As a believer. As a Christ follower, He doesn't see your faults. He doesn't see your failures. He doesn't see your mistakes. He wipes them as far as from the east as to the west. They're gone. He's forgiven you. And now He sees you as saint. You go around this week, David, you can go
Say, I'm Saint David. Oh, yeah. You know, we can say, I'm Saint Herbie. Look at me. See, lots of them. Although I'm not. Yeah, you are, according to Christ. According to Jesus, you're a saint. You don't even have to go through the 6, 7, 5 years of Catholic whatever to become a saint. You're already a saint because you gave your heart to Christ. You gave your life to Christ. And now you're following Christ. Now he looks at you as a saint. He doesn't look at you as a sinner that needs to get thrown out. No, he looks at you as a saint. And you guess what? He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's rock and roll. And guess what? You can claim, because you're a saint, I am blessed and highly favored. And I have all the riches of heaven. Think about that, Jerry. You have all the riches of heaven. Think about that. Barb, you have all the riches of heaven. Because according to Ephesians, we're already sitting in the heavenly places, y'all. Mary, you have all the riches of heaven. And it's not just some, well, I hope I have them. No, you have them. So what you need, Jesus already has. Jesus has everything you need. And he wants to bless you. Because you're blessed and highly favored. Let's pray. Father, we thank you.